Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here it is again, some more cold weather, but I think we've managed to get past it. And now we can joyously attack our information sources when we sit down and we enjoy some thoughts about the goodness of the best eating in America. For all the other people that get together and meet one another at a restaurant or that do some nice cooking at home. You know, all of that is what we talk about every day. And I was talking to a guy not long ago who said, I'd call you, except that I don't think that what I have to say is all that important. And I told him, listen, if you can write, that's good enough for me. And it's... And that's just calling out the real good things, like yours is. So that put a smile on his face, and here we are.
Did he call?
I don't know if it was the same guy, but we do have. Do you have a place to sit down there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. Anyway, today's January 22nd. Let's see. Wait, you can't.
Got it. Go ahead. Hi there. Okay. Hello, everyone.
That's it. Anyhow. We'll take a look at some of the
Welcome
items.
To the food show. We have a lot to talk about as usual today.
Yes, it's
I'm
true.
The wife.
Sitting sidecar.
Sitting sidecar. And we have a
sidecar was the first cocktail I ever had. It was a sidecar.
That's right, it is. Do you think it's named? I guess it is named after that.
I'll find out for you in a minute.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway. All right, so yesterday, you know, Tom, yeah. I'm getting a cold, by the way, so if you hear me hacking in the background, folks,
I've got
that,
one too,
is,
so.
That is what's happening here. But it seems like no matter, you used to always talk about not wanting to talk about hamburgers,
we do it all the time
still. Which I totally get. But we never seem to be able to get too far away from Al Copeland. Have you noticed that?
No, we don't. And Al Copeland, interesting thing about him and his the people who followed him was that you couldn't say this guy is terrible because he wasn't terrible.
He had a great sense of taste.
Great sense of taste.
Not in his decor.
Very popular.
But food. His taste buds were spot on. I mean, it's definitely a style of cooking for sure. It's the Paul Prudhomme thing where it's a lot of salt, a lot of butter, a lot of cream, a lot of spice. What is wrong with that? It's not something that we do quite as much anymore, but I mean it's really good. But anyway, I didn't mean to get on Al Copeland again. I just wanted to say that yesterday.
Yeah.
We got Greg calling in on podcast. So people don't necessarily call the show. They call about the podcast, which is fine because as long as we talk about whatever it is that we threw out at some point, that works for me.
Yeah, mine too. We sit down and start talking.
But we started talking about Al Copeland again, which is kind of remarkable that we just keep talking about Al Copeland. Well, yeah. Today is Archie Kasbarian's birthday.
That's right. It is.
The late Archie Kasbarian, who resuscitated Arno's from virtual ashes.
That's true.
I mean, not literally ashes, but, you know, it had really, really gone down. Colorful. Yeah, but, all of these restaurants have such a colorful history.
Yeah, a lot of them did, and some of them was just, you know, black.
More colorful than others.
Yeah. For those of you who might have just joined us, and, you know, we're talking about Arno's and all this, and Archie Kasbarian was the name of the man who took it over from the lady who was Arno's daughter.
What was her name? Countess Arno or something?
Countess, that's what she said she was.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, she was there all the time. And she was absolutely convinced to the last day of her years that every attempt to make Arno's a great restaurant was successful. And it was still the best restaurant in the world. She felt that, really did.
When you walked into Arno's for the first time, because we talked about this with Broussard's yesterday. Yesterday, we got an email about Broussard's and their 100 years that they're starting in 2020 and the celebration mm-hmm. of it. So I asked you a few questions about Broussard's yesterday.
Yep.
And so I'm going to ask you those similar questions about Arno's. So mm-hmm. when was the first time you walked into Arno's, and in what condition was it at mm-hmm. that time?
Yeah, I can tell you that easily. 1976.
Okay.
And I went there because we had reached the time on the calendar that's basically the beginning of Carnival and Mardi Gras and everything.
Oh, is this your 12th night story?
12th night story.
Was that your first time in Arno's? That's your first experience at Arno's?
No. That wasn't. Because I went there, as I said yesterday, I have a taste for old style everything.
I think everybody knows.
So if you show me, you know, something to get me turned on, and it's 150 years old, and it's only a stick from a can from a cranberry stick steak, what is that anyway? With that in knowledge, I went to Arno's, fully expecting to experience this thing that the Countess Arno, that wasn't her name. I got to find out her real name.
Anybody remember her and,
I'll bet you there
and
are
in
some.
Her last days when she I thought it was Count Arno, and
that was the old man.
He was actually a count?
No. He made that up.
Okay.
Apparently that was common in those days.
To make stuff up.
Yeah, just to come up with stuff like that.
Only in New Orleans. But anyway, so you walk in there the first time, it's the late 70s. And it's the place is a wreck.
Yep.
Is that right?
Well, it was not so much a wreck as it was just like everything had soaked into the floor or something. It was really a mess, and it looked awful. And the food was
probably worse.
The classic here. Well, I'll give you a little piece of Arno's back in those days.
Okay.
I walked in there for lunch one day, because I was interested and I hadn't really eaten there. Sat down, the waiter came over. The waiter's hand was shivering.
Uh-huh.
He had had a couple the night before, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So what happened beyond that?
Was there anyone else in there?
No, there was not a soul else in the dining room. And so I sat down.
Isn't that how most of your restaurant stories start,
A lot
Tom?
Of them do, yeah. Okay. But I sat down, and the waiter came over, and he said, for lunch, we got you good shrimp remoulade, and we got, your trout with the meunier sauce,
uh-huh.
and you want your bread pudding.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what I was looking at? I was looking through the menu, and you have a menu item here that thrills itself as having all of these other things on it. And they actually had not changed at all, but they said they had changed. So I asked for it again the next time I came in on 12th night. And they when I asked
You saw the
question,
Rock Cornish Game Hen 12th night on the menu. The first time you went? It was the first time you went?
First time I went.
And you were wondering what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And anyway, the Arno, the waiter, said something that still stays.
Jermaine Wells, that was
Jermaine
her name.
Wells. That's right. That's it. You got it.
Okay.
The way it's played out, though, is that I asked him if I could have. There was I forget what the appetizer was, but they were talking indeed about the Cornish hen. It was a Cornish hen. Mm-hmm. And a couple of other things on it, and it was flambéed in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? I'd really like to get that.
Yeah.
And the waiter said, listen, you know what's a better thing is you get your shrimp remoulade and your trout with the meunier sauce. And I said, well, you know, it's actually Twelfth Night. I mean, this is the night for this very song right here. It's named for it, and it's named for you. And he said, Cap, take my advice. Put it onto the menu with what I told you. Anyway, it didn't, obviously, that didn't pyre particularly. There was only one choice of everything.
Yeah, and?
So I stayed. I ate it. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't good either.
Uh-huh.
And nobody else knew about the 12th night.
And they still don't.
Because
I think you asked about it since I've been around, and they still don't.
Every time I go there at that time of year, I always make a fuss over it. But to the extent that while I'm doing that, a lot of the waiters and a lot of the customers do know about the whole.
Let's make up Tom's annoying list, where he goes to a restaurant and asks the same question that he's asked 1,000 times. He never gets the answer he wants, but he doesn't ever get deterred. Do you have Rock Cornish Game Hen and Arnaud's? That's on the list. Do you have mole poblano at any Mexican restaurant?
Well, no. No mole poblano.
Can I get these red beans with hot sausage instead of a pork chop smoked sausage?
Well, it depends
fill
on
in
where
the blank.
You are.
It's the same question at all of these places and the same answer every time. And I just think, my goodness, he just never gives up. But anyway, so you never did get, after you asked that, after the first time, you've never had the Rock Cornish Game Hen Flambeau 12th Night at Arnaud's.
Oh, I had.
Yeah, but nobody else has. And you only did it one time, right?
The
one time.
Well, you know, if we would have to perform this to get to this, but sitting behind what you're sitting on.
Yeah. Is the menu with the Rock Cornish Game Hen.
I have a.
Yes.
An Arnaud's.
A la 12th Night.
In fact, it's pretty high to the top. You could probably get it.
Ternoz had a 12th Night menu. Did anybody go to anything that had a 12th Night menu? Because I know that you've talked about 12th Night, and you got sort of smitten with 12th Night.
And why not?
The Cornish Hen, and that's kind of always been a thing, 12th Night for
you.
Well,
but that's what we wound up doing. I finally did the restaurant, really. I made such a fuss about it that they said,
you imagine that, folks?
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
You know, we celebrate everything else about Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
why not
right.
This?
Sure, I agree.
So, and they did it. We had a big deal. We had flambé. Uh-huh. We had the Cornish. It was all there. This is what Archie Kasbarian does. He was a class act with the surrounding himself with really good people to work with him.
When was that transition, Tom? What year did he buy the restaurant? Do you remember?
Yeah, 1982, if I remember.
Uh-huh. So it was only a couple of years after your first visit there where the restaurant changed dramatically.
Yeah, well,
it was a great renovation, first of all, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't
he say at one time that Folgers Coffee paid for the renovation or something?
They did to a large extent.
Yeah, it was
extent.
Like this major contract that Arnaud's had with Folgers Coffee. It's long gone, but I remember that was a big association that they had with Folgers Coffee.
Yeah. It was funny. Every time I was there, I said, where do I find the real coffee? You know, and stuff like that. And he would jeer me a little bit, but... Yeah. Anyway, it's still there.
What, the Folgers Coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
if
it works, leave it.
I don't know if they make a big fuss over it anymore.
Well, the world of coffee has been shaken up so much by the artisan varieties that who knows what you're drinking anyway.
And for the family,
the Kasbarians?
The people who own...
Wells?
Excuse me, there's something in my
throat. Yes, no, we both have something in our throat, that's for sure. Anyway, 260-6368 is the phone number if you would like to chat with us about this or anything else. Happy birthday to the late, great Archie Kasbarian, and what a good era that Arnaud's has embarked upon as a result.
I wish I had seen it in its heyday. That would have been exciting.
Well, you did see it in its heyday. You mean the original heyday of Arnaud's? The original.
When it was really happening.
Yeah, it's over 100 years old itself, isn't it?
In 1918.
Yeah, so I knew that they had celebrated 100th in there somewhere. So you mean when they originally started? when Arnaud's was in its original heyday. Because I would say that the great days of Arnaud's are now.
Oh, that's
in my experience, anyway.
No doubt about that. That's certainly
the next generation, Jane, and who is maybe the most stylish woman I've ever seen.
She certainly is.
And her two children run the restaurant the way it was when Archie was alive, and it's a fabulously glamorous and delicious place to go. So. Happy birthday to the late, great Archie Kasbarian. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
You are listening to The Food Show. I'm glad you are. Thank you. I hope you're glad, and you are, and all of that stuff. Our number is 260-6368, 260-6368. Call right now. You'll get right in. We are open to literally everything you can imagine in the food world, and if you're not quite sure whether it does or not, don't worry about it because that's close enough, and we can enjoy it. You have a who it is and get snoopy.
Well, we read my email online, so we might as well. Might as well read this other stuff. Anyway, Coors today started in 1959.
Yeah, there's a great joke on the subject of Coors.
What's that?
I can't tell it on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you ever come to one of our Eat Club dinners.
We've got to start doing the Eat Clubs. We're going to do the first one at Trinas.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The one at Trinas was terrific.
Yeah. Somebody wrote saying one of these Eat Clubs starting up again. And so it's just like a little nudge that I'm going to accept. And we're going to do an Eat Club. I know we said it before. We've been trying to get Pascal's Vanelli forever and ever. But I'm going to I'm going to approach both of those people, Trinas, tomorrow.
Good.
They were down to do it for – they actually wanted to do it for that 12th-night dinner. But, you know, time just went by so quickly, and we need at least 3 weeks to sell it.
Yeah,
so if you would like to have an Eat Club at your place, send Tom an email, tom@nomenu.com. Mm-hmm. So 1959.
Yeah,
1959. Yes, Coors had its first they began selling beer. In aluminum cans.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was...
Were not doing bottles back then?
They were doing bottles, and then they started selling it in aluminum cans. And now they sell it in that... an aluminum bottle, which is almost like a thermos. You know, those are kind of cool. Anyway, yes, they began selling it in aluminum cans, and I had my first Coors probably in college. And I thought it was great because it doesn't taste like anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no alcohol taste. It's like water.
that's part of the joke I was going to tell you.
That's its appeal.
Yeah.
And you know what? There are lots of us for whom that is an attractive quality.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What did Doug say?
You call that a Kool-Aid, a Colorado Kool-Aid.
Well, you know, actually, Doug, that's not accurate because I don't like Kool-Aid, but I do like that. Mm. So Kool-Aid is we should talk about Kool-Aid one day.
Fine.
I remember the cute little Kool-Aid pitchers with the smiley faces. And then I never it was so sweet. I could never get into Kool-Aid. But we should talk about some of those old iconic sugary drinks like Hawaiian Punch.
When's the last time you had Hawaiian Punch?
A very long time ago, and Kool-Aid even longer than that. And when I was drinking Kool-Aid, you like sweet. You like sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really, really
I
like sweet.
I confess. You're right.
Anyway, Tom had his flan today.
You know,
flan thing is so bizarre.
I've spoken about this before.
Yes, you have,
and,
a few times.
Maybe it would be overdoing it to do it one more time. What do you think?
I thought the first time was overdoing it, but it's just such a marvel to me that it's such a marvel to you.
It's a marvel to me.
It's a marvel to me that it is such a marvel to you. And now the waitress is wondering why it was such a marvel to you, because Tom must have done 5 minutes with the poor waitress about flan today.
Mm.
It's a good thing they weren't busy.
If they're not busy, they won't be able to
talk to them. Tom's marvel is that at a Mexican restaurant, if you ask for flan, they always have it.
Ready to go. No wait.
Here we go.
No, none. I mean, no joke. You and folks.
Yeah, this is what I would use that shock collar for if I got you one.
Here is what I invite you to try.
Uh-huh.
Let's assume you wanted to drink or anything
eat
that.
Eat some flan.
Eat some flan and to begin
According to you, everybody wants to eat flan, don't they?
No, I wouldn't
Cup
say that.
Custard or creme brulee. Those are the same thing, aren't they? Creme brulee.
Not really.
And
no.
Flan?
The main difference is. Let's say a flan. Here you have that in the a little, what do you call those? A cup, yeah, but it's not quite as deep as a cup. But, okay, you've got the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have the same exact piece of cookware, and you put the same exact formula for making
flan
or custard like they make over at Galator's.
You know, but it's the same substance. It's custard, right?
Yes. Okay. All of that is true. Now, here is what makes it have any distinction whatsoever. Once they put it together, they take the little...
the torch.
And they put it into an oven, and they let it sit up there until the top of it starts getting a little crusty. And that's what makes the difference between flan and... all of those other, the Galator style, the Arnaud style.
If I may beg to differ, what is the difference between those?
One of them is crispy, crunchy.
It's a torch.
A torch?
It's a flambé.
A flambé, we have flambé over here.
It's a flambé. So they take the torch and they torch it and they scorch it and they crust it up, and that's the difference, isn't it? That's like the only difference, isn't it?
More often it's done in an oven. But you've got the idea.
Thank God.
Who? Belina.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. Welcome.
Thank you. How you doing,
Thank
Tom?
You. I'm the same old guy doing the same old things. And with us here
I'm calling.
What?
I'm calling to tell you happy National Hot Sauce Day.
You were checking out hot sauces around the country?
Well, my dad is a huge fan of yours, and he follows you. I think he's been on one of your cruises, and he called you once from Heidelberg, Germany, I think.
could be.
And he just texted me. I go by Scotty Peppers, and I'm the grandson of the Bomber family of Crystal Hot Sauce.
Oh, okay.
And and I live up in New York City, so I'm calling you about a block away from the New World Trade Center. But I grew up in New Orleans. I lived in Louisiana for 22 years. I moved to New York when I was 25, and I've been here since, but I go home a lot. I'll be there next week. But I wanted to tell you about this hot sauce brand that I've launched on my own called Bayou Gotham. And I'll be there in New Orleans doing a party at 7-3 Distillery in New Orleans.
No, wait a minute. What is this? What is it?
Are you Pepper's cousin?
I am. I am his cousin, but we have not met. My grandfather was Roger Bomber. Yeah, my grandfather was Roger Bomber, who worked as plant manager at Bomber Foods for his whole life. And so he was Alvin's younger brother.
Okay, so you are a Bomber.
My last name is Belina, but my mom's last name is Bomber.
Bomber. Okay. Okay.
No.
All right. So because you're in the family business, sort of, and have been around it forever and ever.
Yes.
You have launched your own hot sauce.
I have.
And it's called what?
It's called Bayou Gotham. Born on the Bayou, aged in.
Oh, Bayou Gotham. Oh, I love it. I love it.
So we've created. I've created four recipes that are based on my Louisiana roots. We've got one called Bayou Bleue, which is a first to market, never been done before. Crawfish boil in a bottle. It tastes exactly like a crawfish boil.
That's one way to get it.
What else do you have?
We have one called Juju Guru, which is a tropic jalapeno green sauce that came out of a. Desertively Bonnaroo conversation I had with the late back Rebinac about 10 years ago. So there's that. And then we have two others that are Bayou themed. We have the Ruby Rebel, which is my rebellious twist on traditional Louisiana style hot sauce. I put a shot of bourbon in it, and it's got a whole Storyville theme. And then the last one is my favorite. It's a Caribbean Creole hot sauce called Flambeau Fire, and it's dedicated to the Flambeau carriers.
I love it. All right, so you have. I want you to write down Tom's email: tom@nomenu.com.
Okay.
Yeah. I want you to get a hold of us the next time you're in town. Obviously, that's you said what next week? Is that when you're going to be in town?
I get in town next Tuesday, but we're hosting we've launched the Kickstarter today, we launched the Kickstarter 15 days ago, and to raise the funding we need to get our sauces into production, and we hit the target today, which is actually National Hot Sauce Day. I didn't even know it was a thing, but it is. And we crossed the. We've got funded. The products are going into production in a month. I'm super excited. So
to celebrate,
we're having a. Thank you. We're having it's going to be a Kickstarter fundraising party, but it's now going to be a celebration party at 7-3 Distillery next Friday, like a happy hour in New Orleans. So
Where is that?
7-3 Distilling. It's a distilling company on North Claiborne Avenue, 70112. I think it's just north of the quarter or canal. So I don't.
Okay. Would you send us all this information, please? Because we'd probably like to do something at nomenu.com. And when you're back in town, not when you're here next, but the next time after that, we'd love to have you on and give us a report on how it's going.
That'd be great. Like I said, I'm going to be down there a lot.
We'd love to have you in the studio to sit and just talk about, growing up in the family and around hot sauce and a really in-depth chat with you.
The smells from that old Tulane plant location, they still resonate with me. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like when I hit when that smell of cayenne hits my nose, it's like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
You probably already know this, but that sign that
I love it. Yes.
It had been pretty well wracked by Hurricane Katrina, and they yanked the whole thing down and they repainted it and they put it right back up where it was.
I love the fact that they have it on the building now, which is condominiums or apartments, but they kept that sign, which is so important.
Oh, sure.
That sign is. Tom, that sign is such an important piece of my childhood. Of course, I know that, and I smile every time I cross that overpass. My parents live on the West Bank, so when I drive to the from the airport to home, I pass it. When I go to the airport, but the thing is, it doesn't say Bomber Foods on the top of it anymore. Thing was, when I was a kid, every time we'd go across that overpass, because my grandfather lived in Mid City, so we would cross that overpass to get to the City Park Avenue exit.
Was she part of the family?
Wait, he's talking about his grandfather. Go ahead.
Yeah, my grandfather. So my mom would point to the sign when I was a little kid and say, "There's Grandpa cooking." And for probably the first 15 years of my life, I really believed that that was an old illustration of my grandfather specifically. So that sign is really important to me.
I love it. I would love to have you in the studio to talk at length about growing up here and how you wound up in New York and what you're doing other than selling hot sauce, and just sort of stay in touch and visit from time to time.
You're always welcome here, as you probably
if you don't mind doing that.
Tom, I also want to thank you. I have your book, and I have a special page that taught me how the right way to cook rice.
Wait! Stop for a second. Tom was trying to teach you how to cook rice.
No, I have his book. I've had his cookbook for about 15 years or so.
Yeah, but you're talking about cooking rice, because that's like the worst thing Tom does. Was Tom actually trying to tell people how to cook rice in the cookbook?
Oh, sure. And there is a way to do it.
I don't even know if Tom could cook rice with an actual rice cooker.
I beg your please.
Okay, look, I'm going to give you your due. You do great guacamole, you do great coleslaw, you do great glazed ham, you do great a gazillion things. Rice and gravy, not your thing.
Mm. Well, I'm sorry you haven't had it before. I'll have some of the information.
That is so funny, though. I love it that you learned how to cook rice from Tom. Don't cook rice for me, okay? Don't ever cook rice for me.
I got it from my mother is where I got it. What I do for my mother.
Yes, but, you did.
Okay.
All right, we have to take a break.
And we'll be back with more of the food show.
Please get a hold of us. If you want to stay on, we can chat some more. And if you don't, either way, get a hold of us. But we have to take a break right now.
But now this. Joey, welcome to the food show.
Are you still there?
Joey, you there?
Oh, yes. This is Scotty. I got cut off the line, but then I'm back on. If you're talking to me,
of course.
Who are you again?
You were just talking to him, Tom. Come on, behave.
Well,
this is Bomber. Your name is Joey.
No, Scotty.
Scotty. Okay.
You know,
all right.
So there were at least a couple of members.
It's like
your
being
family
in the Twilight Zone, isn't it?
There was, in fact, a person who was in your family who I used to see on the bus every day over at the on my way to the front from Basit.
Jesuit. Jesuit, uh-huh.
And saw him all the time, and they're long-term Jesuit people.
Yeah, I'm a Jesuit graduate as well. It's probably one of my uncles. Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of your what?
Uncles.
Oh, okay. So you've been in New York for how long?
Coming on 20 years.
Oh, gosh. Mm. Okay. Well, you sound a lot younger than you must be. Have you always wanted to do the hot sauce? I mean, is that something you had desire to do, like a cool version of it?
Hmm? Yeah, it's funny. It kind of came about a year ago. I had an epiphany right around the Feast of Epiphany. I've missed so many crawfish seasons in living up in New York, and I used to, whenever there was a crawfish boil, I would either be there or I was hosting it. And so I was no longer able to do my own crawfish boil. So I'm like, I need to make a sauce that I could put on anything that make everything taste like a crawfish boil. And then I started thinking about my legacy and my grandfather because when you're growing up with it, you know, he would come over to our house every Wednesday to play Blu-ray with a gallon of ice cream in one hand and a box of Crystal in the other. So it was like air to me. I mean, it just was always around.
Oh, there you go.
But you didn't eat those two things together, did you?
You know, I've actually tried it, to be honest.
And, well, I mean, they do that with chocolate, you know, pepper and stuff like that. So I can't imagine it, though.
No, the ice cream is good for after when you eat something hot, when you want calm it down.
You know, Ashley Hansen is doing snowballs that have jalapeno in it. There's actually jalapeno seeds in the sauce. So, I mean, we're getting into, you know, really, really wild territory with mixing sweet and savory things, or sweet and spicy things, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what, Scotty, you sound like you are a prime candidate for what I call the Sad Expats Club. We have we have a couple of people who call us who, like, one is in Seattle and they're just, you know, they're just one's in Michigan, and they call up with their memories that are triggered by all kinds of things. And all I can think of when I talk to him is, you should move back.
Well, you know, you're right. You could take the boy out of the bayou. You can't take the bayou out of the boy, you know.
No,
I don't know. That didn't work with my son. He has almost no recollection of his bayou boots and his growing up in Covington. He's in L.A., and he is strictly L.A.
Well, I'll tell you,
so is my son.
He's not a member of the Sad Expat Club at all. So.
Oh, well.
I wouldn't say that I'm sad.
And we are here
I did. you wouldn't say that, Scotty?
I wouldn't say that I'm sad because, you know, being from Louisiana is a huge part of my identity up here, which is really fun.
Yes.
All my friends, I'm the New Orleans guy, but when I go back home, I'm the guy who left New Orleans, so I'm the New York guy. And so one of the, so that's been my life for the last 20 years, and I want to embrace both. So I started this brand. I'm like, you know what? I am from Louisiana. I am from New Orleans. I lived there for 22 years. I was born there. I left after college, after I graduated LSU. And I've been now in New York for 20 years. So why can't I be from both places? Because that's who I am. So
why not? Two for the price of one. You know, I mean, it's why not?
Yes, two and one. Or what is it? Two and one.
For
anyway,
the price of one.
I just have one thing to say to you, Scotty.
Go
Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Did you? I'm sure you watched the game, huh?
Oh, I was. There's a ball here called Legends, where it's like the next best thing to being the being actually in Tiger Stadium. It's the New York where the New York alumni does all of the events. It was.
Oh,
awesome.
Is that right?
They
well,
lit
that's cool.
The Empire State Building. It's right across the street from the Empire State Building, and they lit it up purple and gold after the game. So that was
like
pretty
that.
Epic.
There is a wonderful hotel whose bar is right, like, I think it's called the Strand. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
We stayed at the Strand about 11 years ago, and it was a really foggy, rainy, misty night. And we went up on the balcony of the bar upstairs. And it's like you could reach out and touch the Empire State Building, and it was really cool. So that hotel's still there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like my respite from New York. Sorry. I feel like I should whisper this, but I hate New York. And whenever I'm there.
Half the week I do.
What?
I said I do too, because I live here. I get to hate it.
I'm telling you, it's like you walk outside and get punched in the face with the energy of the city. And so I used to love to go, you know, back into that little hotel, which was like being at home, and just sort of crawl up after a day out and, you know, kind of suck my thumb. Anyway, it's been really great talking to you. We're going to let you go. And I want to tell you that I really do want you to come on and just sit with us. Bring some of your hot sauce and we'll do a hot sauce tasting.
That's a tough thing to do, but I'll do it. It's you know, it shuts you down for most people. You ingest a little bit more Tabasco than you maybe should have.
Well, we'll do it his grandfather's way.
Well, listen to this. I don't know if many people even know this. I sampled it today. Did you know that there's a mayonnaise Tabasco sauce?
Yes,
they take
I do.
Tabasco and they mix it in mayonnaise, and they put it in the jar just like mayonnaise, and they ship it out. And I had, with the courtesy of the staff at
it tastes like an oak casket to me.
Open like a casket.
It tastes like an oak casket to me. Do you like it, Scotty?
I actually love it.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. To me, I can't taste any.
I was raised on Crystal, but when it comes to hot sauce, I have room in my life for all of them.
Okay. Well, the mayonnaise, I don't know. When I want mayonnaise, I want it to taste like mayonnaise. It tasted to me like that. And
I'd rather just put my own hot sauce on it, you know. You got to get a po' boy dressed and it'll have mayonnaise, but I don't need to put already hot sauced mayonnaise. So I think it's kind of silly, but.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so when you come with your hot sauce, we'll do it your grandfather's way. Bring a gallon of ice cream, too, and we'll do the hot sauce and then the ice cream.
Amazing. Let you guys check out BayouGotham.com, and you can see what we're up to. There's a really awesome video, and it kind of gives you the story. And I'll send you guys an email as well. So I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
It's called Bayou Gossip, as in I'm going to gossip about you?
No, like Gotham, like the city
Gotham,
of Gotham.
Oh, Gotham, that's right. Okay, Bayou Gotham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
As in New York. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
all right.
You can have mine.
Yes. Anyway, yes, please get a hold of us, tom@nomenu.com, and we will check out Bayou Gotham. Thank you for
calling.
That's
Batman.
All right. Yes. Thank you, guys. y'all.
Hey, thank you. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with a bunch of people in and out of the studio, but that's okay with me. We can have a little fun once in a while, and then that while will repeat and again and again and again. And our number is 260-6368, 260-6368. If you call right now, you'll get right in. If you don't call right now, you won't get
nothing.
We'll
just keep talking.
And you know what a low thing that would be. But anyway, here we are, and I'd love to hear from you.
I'm glad he called. He was very cute, and I'm excited about his product. And I love when people start things, and I don't know anything about how Kickstarter works, but I'm glad to hear that it's still alive and kicking, if you pardon the pun, so that he and other people can do that kind of thing. I might do that with my kids' show.
Well, you never know. There's so many things to do.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
260-6368 is the number. Today is also National Vegetable Gratin. Remember your remember your, what was it, melaton and
the one with
parsnip and
this must have been
rutabaga.
This must have been a side dish at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you were doing it for a while. It was.
Yeah. I still do it.
It was those three things, and it was in the style of dauphinoise or scallop potatoes.
Yeah,
as
good
my
luck
mom
with
used
that.
To say, scallop potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah.
I'm slowly but surely collecting a collection of things your mother said and your dad made too.
Well, I know you love the one from my dad, which everyone has heard a few too many times. But yes, they did have a few good ones, I have to say.
Well, they were funny and they were interesting and good people.
Thank you. 260-6368 is the number. The frugal gourmet, Jeff Smith, was born today in 1939. And that was a pretty infamous end.
Please
but the
be
most,
careful.
But no, the thing that I wanted to say was that he was quoted as saying, what was that thing that you had in here that he said, which was testicles? What was it? 10 testicles?
Yeah.
He was talking about a squid, as you know, of course, has 10 testicles.
He said that by mistake during a TV show.
Yes. So, wait. Okay. Well, no, wait. You know what? These are not the same people. There's the frugal gourmet. And the galloping gourmet.
The galloping gourmet.
So the galloping gourmet is the funny one. The frugal gourmet is the sad one. So Graham Kerr, the galloping gourmet, was also born today in 1934. And his famous quote that you have in the almanac is, as a squid, as you know, has 10 testicles. What he meant, of course, was tentacles. But I guess...
It's an
imaginary thing. It lives on forever, lives long past you.
You know,
if you say something like that on television.
It's fascinating, but it's not something I'd want to witness in private.
What, squid?
Either one.
Testicles.
Or
the number 10.
I'm sure we got that out of the way. I'm sure glad we got that out of the way. 260-6368 is our telephone number. What have you been eating lately? You know what? Let me ask if anybody else.
Where it's going.
How you're taking the change in the season as it gets colder. Boy, where did all this come from? But last few days, I've been going over some nuts, and this has nothing to do with the testicles. Time ago, I was looking over something, let's see, now you got me kicked into the ceiling. It'll have to
come
back.
You know what, Tom?
What?
Yesterday you did something that was so funny because I do it myself.
Yeah.
I used to love, my favorite thing.
Yeah,
when
what
the kids
was
were growing up was just to kind of lie around reading with them. We had so many books here all the time.
They
we used
are
to
blessed.
Love.
Blessed children you had there. If
yes.
That's how their life was.
We would go to the library, the public library. They had this little summer reading program. So we would go and get a whole bunch of books. And there was this one book called Don't Forget the Soap. And I've even mentioned this on the air before because I'll never forget this character. His name was Plug Honeycutt. Hmm. And he was this bumpkin from, you know, the backwater. And he had the most distinctive thing about him was his shoes. And I actually am wearing a slipper like this right now. The shoes, the toe part separated from the sole. And so it would flap when he walked. Mm-hmm. And so his mother would send him to the store. And she would say, she'd say the soap. She would send him to the store for soap. And whatever the last thing she said was, is what he became fixated on. It's like, it's kind of like that that Frasier episode where he was trying to learn how to ride a bike at the age of, you know, 40. And he, every time he'd get on it, he would fixate on something and then just sort of drive into it. So mm-hmm. Plug Honeycutt. Whatever the last thing someone said was, that was what he remembered. That's the only thing he remembered, which is why she kept saying, don't forget the soap. Anyway, when we're talking, and I do this myself, it's whatever the last thing was is how we go off on that tangent in the food show. And so I don't even remember how I got on that. But that I thought about that yesterday when I said something, and then we went off on a different tangent, and I could only think about Plug Honeycutt. And don't forget the soap. If you have little kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we know about
that's
that.
That's a really fun book. You should look it up. Plug Honeycutt, Don't Forget the Soap. Anyway, today is the feast day of saints named Vincent.
Oh.
And one, he was the Saint Vincent of Saragossa, Spain. He is the patron saint of grape growers.
Hmm.
Who make everything from wine Perfect. To vinegar from
they,
those grapes.
They make quite a lot of wine, the saints, a lot of them.
And you talk about the Vincents, all the Vincents in the Riccobono family. There are a lot of Vincents in the Riccobono family. I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
And I guess it's just a popular Italian name. But
actually, I do know why. Not for absolute sure, but this is the one that's probably the explanatory thing, and that is that this city really has, in addition to the French and the Cajun and all the rest of it, we have a huge Italian community here. We always have, going back a couple
Sicilian
of centuries. Sicilians
particularly,
Sicilians
isn't it?
For sure. And they came here, and they just kept on producing the same kinds of foods that they had left in New York or on the West Coast, strangely enough. And that would have made that would have explained a lot of that.
Well, you talk about Vincent Catalanotto
and
his son, mm-hmm. and also all the Vincents in the Riccobono family. I only know two, but I think there's more than that.
Oh, there's plenty more. Many, many.
The Riccobono family also had the Buck 49 Steakhouse, didn't they? Was that their only two restaurants?
No, they had 10 of them at one time.
No, as part of that chain, but they have the Pepper Mill.
Oh, the Pepper Mill. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the same people, and they evolved from the Buck 49 Pancake and Steakhouse into the
Pepper Mill.
The Pepper Mill. It was the same people, except that the steakhouse was run by the guy. And she said, you know what, this is good, but we need to do this in a way that makes it look good. And they did. She took it over. And the
is this Josie?
Josie, yeah. And
yeah.
She was just wonderful. But her whole family was, and his whole staff.
Well, it's now run by Cammy.
Cammy,
the niece,
right?
I believe.
That's right.
And they're all related in some way. And then Vincent of Matina Bella, he's related, and all the Riccobonos mm-hmm. are related. And a lot of times, the Matina Bella, Riccobono's Panola Cafe, and I guess the pancakes from the Pancake Cottage with the steak and pancakes, they're all the same pancakes, but boy, they're good.
They are good.
Secret recipe.
That's what got me started.
They won't give it to you, and yeah. And, well, they actually told us what it is, which we find pretty amusing.
What is it? Don't tell them.
No, you're not supposed to. We're not supposed to say what it is. But anyway, there are excellent pancakes. If you have not been to Matina Bella and had their pancakes, or to Riccobono's Panola Street Cafe deep in Uptown on Panola Street, The pancakes are actually pretty darn good, which, of course, they did get from the original pancake and steak, $1.49.
But I
believe we are at the top of the hour, and it's time for the top of the hour news. If you would like to talk to us when we come back, call us at 260-6368.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.